All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Houston.
Beasley swings it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're just getting settled in here tonight, but we got a hard-hitting 2 hours coming up here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. What an exhilarating, uplifting, energetic... Oh, those are words you'd use to describe Shell Energy Stadium, the Dynamo win on to the Western Conference Final. Tonight, I expect to hear from Dynamo fans. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A lot to talk about in that game. A win over Sporting Kansas City. Streaming ESPN975.com. I'm going to tell you why tonight I believe the Dynamo are going to knock off LAFC. Got a lot of good reasoning behind this. LAFC got by Seattle 1-0 on the plastic, so the Dynamo now with LAFC, the higher seed, they will go there. Guest tonight on the show, Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Okay, so everything you know that people want to know about. And again, this is looking ahead. We're really, my interview with Pat tonight is about the future. It's about Sebas Ferreira. It's about Coco Carrasquilla. It's about the rumor about Chicharito and Hector Herrera coming out talking about the possibility of Chicharito. I will say this about Chicharito. There's nobody moving on this, I think. And you have to consider the man's injury that he's coming off. You don't even know if he still has his explosiveness left after an ACL injury, as an older guy whose game is based on movement and mobility. Okay, so let's think a little bit logically about this. I heard people before the down, oh, we're going to win 3-0. We're going to win 4-1. I mean, come on, you got to be logical here. It's the playoffs. They're 1-0 games. The Dynamo haven't been scoring a lot of goals as late. They've gone to 2 penalty kicks. And you know what? They're proving to you that they can make one goal stand. And we will again say that, well, they had opportunities to add a second. So Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, listen, I think he's about as transparent a GM as you're going to get in this league, honestly, and it's refreshing. Chad Riley is a former Houston area soccer player. Grew up on the fields, Bear Creek, playing in Meyer Park. He's in a club called the Hurricanes, which I was involved in. He's now the coach at Notre Dame. It's the 11th season as a head coach at Notre Dame. He's also an assistant at St. John's in New York under Dave Major, assistant at Dartmouth under Bobby Clark, and at Notre Dame, the legendary Bobby Clark. Chad Riley's on the show tonight. They're in the Elite Eight. They beat Indiana. They'll go to the College Cup for a second year in a row, which will be held in Louisville. So I think it's very important, and I've wanted to do this all the years, to highlight. And there's a lot of people who don't know and are involved in the game here, the history and the amount of people that have left Houston to either become professional soccer players or coaches at a variety of different levels, whether it's MLS or the college game. This was a young man who at 11 or 12, you couldn't get the soccer ball off his foot. He was a soccer junkie. Well, he's a coach in Notre Dame now. Fantastic story. We'll re-air the Hector Herrera interview here tonight as well. And, of course, We'd love you to hit us up on Twitch. It's Twitch/ESPN975. Anything else we need to tell anybody, extraordinary producer Guillermo Lazo Romero?
Any social media you can think of, just look up at Soccer Matters and you will find us there. Make sure to follow and like.
Okay, perfect. And we want your calls tonight. I want to hear more active Dynamo fans. I want you to talk about the game. This is real soccer talk here. I mean, look, we might talk about the color of a uniform. We're not going to spend 15 minutes talking about the color of the uniform, right? Because there's a rumor about purple or something. That's what I heard. All right, U.S. national team in January is going to play in San Antonio. That's a potential there for Griffin Dorsey to be in state and maybe get called into that January camp. But let's go into Dynamo MLS playoffs. All right, let's go back to the Dynamo game. The game-winning goal comes off a corner. Hector Herrera delivery. You would say this year that you want more goals off his delivery. Franco Escobar, though, one thing you must remember, gets a tremendous run at this. And the place that Herrera puts this ball is a place that the center back, who was the big center back for Sporting Kansas City, he can't get there. He can't get there. Danny Rosero, he can't get there. Franco Escobar gets there first. He's scored other big playoff goals in the past with Atlanta and LAFC. Here's the goal call. 39th minute. This wins the game.
The Dynamo figurehead curls it in. Up they go. It's 1-0. Fantastic header. It's Franco Escobar. He dives into the arms of Hector Herrera. And the Houston Dynamo have done it off a corner. It is 1-0.
Dynamo had chances to get a second. Here's Ben Olsen on starting the culture change in Houston.
Well, we brought in winners. The best way to do it is just go grab guys that have been there. And you know, Asher and Pat and the scouting department have done a great job of giving me some great tools to work with. That's, I think, the start of it.
More from Ben Olsen on being a dark horse.
I think we're used to that. All year we've been kind of that dark horse. And again, even when we get compliments, they hurt sometimes. It's like a backhanded compliment. We're still in that space where we're trying to prove to everyone that we're real. And this helps. This helps, I think, just puts us on the map a little bit more. Now it's about two games away. Yeah, I don't think the money's going to be on us, but that's okay. We can live with that. We've punched above our weight, and hopefully we can do it another time here next week.
Punched above my weight. Remember who used to say that all the time? A former Dynamo coach used to say that. Owen Coyle was not the hire the Dynamo needed. He was a great guy, though. But he would always say in interviews, we're going to punch above our weight. I would replace, I think it's motivation. And I think the fact that you're out of sight, out of mind for so long, I mentioned this with John and Dell on the morning show on the bench. I said, when you're out of sight, out of mind that long, you got to take small steps to get back to the credibility. And a lot of people like to point to, everybody picked the Dynamo to be, you know, last in the conference or 12-14. And they list all the names of the people. They're looking at last year's standings, which anybody would know that if you're going to have a midfield of Hector Herrera, and I've said this before, Artur and Coco, you got as good a midfield as anybody in the league. You add Amin Bassi to that. And you are now going to be able to protect your back four better. So you are going to be competitive every game with that midfield. And the Dynamo are one game away from an MLS Cup, and they're still trying to figure out how to score goals, to be honest with you. Well, no, let me take that back. They're scoring goals from a variety of ways, and they're doing enough to win games in advance. And that is a priority for next year. It's obviously finding a striker. But they can run the table doing it the way they're doing it right now. It wouldn't be the first time that's done in MLS. And I'm going to say this boldly here. They're going to knock LAFC out. You watch. Mark my words. They're going to knock them out. They are beatable. The Dynamo have gone there before and beaten them at home, although I wouldn't put too much on that as far as, you know, relative to this game. But the nice thing is you've gone into that building before and you've won. Okay. Eastern Conference. Well, no, let's stick with the Western Conference. Let's go to Denise Bawanga's goal, 30th minute. This is a difference, LAFC at Seattle. Okay, we're going to get there.
Come next season. Oh, what a ball that is.
It's left by Oliveira. Here is Bawanga, finally into space. Bawanga is forward! Oh, Denise Bawanga!
Okay, so Bawanga had three shots in that game, two on target. He's an X factor because he can make one play and win you the game. They've got the best X factor in this game. And there's Carlos Vela as well. You can contain those two, take the edge off of them, have a good night of defending them, making it difficult for them. You can go a long way in winning that game. We're going to get into that a little bit more. Here is Yerson Mosquera, center back, in stoppage time. Cincinnati over Philadelphia, big drama.
Now, across. This ball high, across opportunity, here it is! Mosquera! Cincinnati in second half, stoppage time, has the lead!
Yeah, and that would do it over the Union. So that sets up Columbus 2-0 over Orlando. Here's the goal from Cucho Hernandez, who hits an empty net here from way out.
Now there's a lot of space, and Galase is off his line, and a chance from the halfway line. And Cucho knows where that was going. Right down the middle, into the back of the net. And Columbus Crew are off to the conference final.
So Crew 2-0 over Orlando in Orlando. They were the better team. They're an entertaining team, too. They're one of my favorite teams outside the Dynamo to watch. And then you got Cincinnati over Philadelphia. So you got an incredible, incredible Eastern Conference final between Columbus and Cincinnati, in-state rivals. That is a great one. That's where an MLS Cup final is, too. Also, if you win this game, you host the MLS Cup final. LAFC beat Seattle 1-0, as we mentioned, on the fake stuff. Part of me didn't want Seattle. I thought Seattle would win this game at home because of the artificial surface. Part of me wanted Seattle to lose because I don't want to see games on the fake stuff. I hope Seattle, they've got everything going authentic except that. And man, it looks terrible on TV. It's not a good look for the league. I'm sorry. It's not a good look. And LAFC, by the way, had like 30% of the possession in this. They sat back the entire second half. They had so little respect that Seattle could score. They sat back the entire second half. LAFC only had two shots on goal, and one of them was a goal from Denise Bawanga. I take that back. Only two shots on goal. Yeah. That's unbelievable. With a team with Vela and Bawanga, Kalen Acosta, Ilya Sanchez. They elected to try and defend it. They were not scared of Seattle. They didn't think they would score. Seattle came close, couldn't pull it off. So there, you got your two finals. And they're both good ones. The Dynamo story is amazing. Now, another thing we have to consider here, 713-780-3776, who's your player of the game for the Houston Dynamo? I know who mine is. Who was your unsung hero in that game? Give us your thoughts on the Dynamo now getting to the Western Conference Final and what you think they're going to do against LAFC. 713-780-3776. But I will tell you this. Because the Dynamo have advanced so far, because the Dynamo have won the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, they're in the CONCACAF Champions League. They're going to have a really short offseason. And you have to delay making roster decisions and everything. It's going to be guys that want more money based on success. There's a lot of challenges for a general manager. Yeah, you got Sebas Ferrer not playing, not scoring goals. That's not good if you want to transfer him. Coco's indicated he wants Europe. Well, we're going to talk to the general manager, Pat Onstad. We'll have Chad Riley as well, the head coach in Notre Dame. They're into the Final Eight. Hector Herrera's interview tonight. Twitch/ESPN975. Twitter, hit me up there, at Soccer Matters GD, at Glenn Davis, Soc. We are going to talk some Champions League. We'll come back with more on the Dynamo. Where are you, callers? 713-780-3776. Taking a break here. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, I got to listen to this a little. It's how we're feeling about the Houston Dynamo. Oh, yeah. All right, let's bring it back here. Reminder here, a couple of things. LamontBrands.com, Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. They benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. So I think over the years you've found out that you really enjoy doing things around pediatric cancer. So we got that. We've got Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 in the Markey Entertainment Center. Get over there. It's a great place to watch games. It's a real traditional pub. Great whiskey offerings, craft beers, all kinds of beers. You know, you can get all the standards there. And great guys over there. Goose, get over there. Good spot. We've done some live shows, a lot of live shows over there. So we appreciate that. Cactus Music, our good friend Quinn. That's why we're playing a little bit of the Stones here. We're going to open up in Houston, actually, the end of April. It's pretty amazing for Houston that they get the opening show of that tour. So there you go. All right, so let's get back to the Houston Dynamo and the game that they won. And I would love your opinions on this and your thoughts. 713-780-3776. So on the show before we got into Sporting Kansas City, we spoke about a couple of things. Teams with momentum, teams that could attack in transition, combo play. They both had wide game. And we also spoke about the Dynamo winning and finding that possession battle. And I think they did. And I think the Dynamo controlled the possession game without a doubt. The data's there. We also spoke about the worry was scoring goals. The Dynamo had chances against RSL, couldn't take them. They got the one that they needed. They have been an incredible collective defending team this year. They have protected Steve Clark beautifully, and when Steve Clark has been called upon, he has made the big, big saves like he did against Sporting. He robbed Shallowy on one. 3 minutes into that game, though, I don't know if you remember, this could have been a really different night. Because Johnny Russell beat three guys right in front of our radio position at the game. In fact, we called the game on ESPN 975, and we will have the game from L.A. against LAFC, the Western Conference Final, on Saturday as well, by the way. 8 o'clock will be our pregame show. But Johnny Russell got in, and Johnny Russell made a mess of his finish. Steve Clark was there, but it was a really tame finish. After getting in an unbelievable goal-scoring position. Now, that could have changed the game dramatically. And that's why I say these games come down to really fine margins. Really fine margins. 713-780-3776. So we spoke about those things. At the end of the day, I found it pretty bizarre. Yeah, really bizarre. How much of the game Alan Pulido, who's as good a box player as you're going to find in Major League Soccer, who can hold play up, how much of the game he spent in midfield? Back defending, playing deep. And they would win the ball against the Dynamo. And whoever won the ball, they'd look up and there was nothing in front of them. There were no targets. There was nobody to play the ball to. So they'd have to try to run it out of their own half of the field. I found it a little bit strange, especially being down a goal. Yeah, they made a little bit of a push at the end, but the Dynamo absorbed it and then had really good decision-making on the ball to manage the game out through Hector Herrera, who's, by the way, was best 11 named today, Griffin Dorsey. There was a lot of good decisions in managing the game out. It's also a big save from Steve Clark. Peter Vermees brought on Roger Espinosa with his left foot to get delivery in, and then he put Russell on the left side of the field, and all of a sudden, Russell started to get in a couple of very dangerous crosses. So, you know, they made a little bit of a push. I thought it kind of came late at that point. And the Dynamo win 1-0. Get a shutout. They're on to the Western Conference Final. I think they deserved it. They could have got a second. I think Corey Baird had some really good chances. But at the end of the day, I think you handled Pulido, Shallowy, and Russell pretty well. I mean, you're not going to deny these guys getting decent chances. But you really kind of straddled them and had them under control for large portions of the game. Pulido got in once. Russell got in once. Shallowy had one. Now, the one with Pulido was the goal line, you know, play from Sviatchenko that the ball hit his hands. Now, we all know you have to get breaks in order to get to an MLS Cup final. That was a break. On any given day, subjectively, a referee can say that's a penalty. He might even send somebody off. And I see everybody out there going, it was a penalty. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, we can all have our opinion on it. We've all seen it called a variety of ways. It was down to the referee and VAR. That's who subjectively has to make this decision. They were so confident in it, they didn't even take a look at it. That it, I suppose they're saying it was unintentional, but the handball penalty call in soccer, it is not black and white. It never will be. It will all be down to the person who is in the middle. It's the fact. And that was a good break. Even Ben Olsen said, you know, he thought it was going to be called a penalty. It's the breaks. It happens. And frankly, the Dynamo were the better team on the day. I don't think we would argue that. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So for everybody out there that said, no, Dynamo 12th to 14th, that's where they're going to end. You know, they were doing it based off the schedule. My pick was always 5-8 in the West. They exceeded my expectations. They ended up fourth, getting a lot of home field advantage. These games have been wonderful for a variety of reasons for the club. Financially, their opportunities to grow your fan base. You know, a lot of this getting into the playoffs to me was never going to be an issue. I say this respectfully, that we do have a lot of people that make predictions without not really qualifying it and doing a lot of homework on it. That's okay. I mean, the more the merrier. It makes it fun. And, you know, besides, we need as much opinion as possible. But sometimes it's people that are in real roles of responsibility. I can see why people would, you know, have picked the Dynamo based on last year. They would have picked them to finish near the bottom. But this year, the Dynamo are turning some heads, and people are not only looking at the winning and advancing, but they're also looking at the way the game is being played here, aesthetically. Entertaining product. Guillermo, I know you're a big fan of Barcelona. Barcelona values the ball. So does the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, I mean, I remember last year when I heard Hector Herrera was coming, and I instantly knew that just the technical level of the team will somehow, some way just increase. And this year, it's basically just that. We've been seeing this ball play with the Dynamo, and it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, and look, he's fully bought in. And I think that was a question before the season. And we all make judgments. We get a lot of them wrong. I get them wrong. I like to think I hopefully get more right than wrong. But I'd rather have people say something as opposed to playing it safe, you know? I'm saying that I think the Dynamo are going to knock off LAFC for a variety of reasons. One, I think the Dynamo have a midfield as good as any in the league. Okay? I'm giving you reasons. I'm not just saying the Dynamo midfield is good. They're going to beat LAFC. No. I'm giving you reasons why. They have the best six in the league, in my opinion. He gets the game moving forward for the Dynamo. He's super composed in Artur. He allows Hector Herrera freedom. You got Coco Carrasquilla, who granted, final product, you would want to be better, but he's playing out of position. He had two assists for Panama, by the way, who's going to be in the Copa America. Let's hope they play right here in Houston next year. And you got Amin Bassi, who grew as the Dynamo figured out where the best place for him was. And they did that by shifting the tactics a little bit and playing with a box midfield. I put this midfield up against any in the league. You got a man in Herrera and Artur that are two phenomenal decision makers. I mean, you know, you'd give this guy the Hope Diamond to protect it for you. You know, Herrera and Artur. And they're such a wonderful combination to watch play. And to see midfield players that under pressure can get out of there with the ball. We haven't seen that. We have to appreciate what we're seeing now. The difference in the quality that has been put together on this roster. So the Dynamo midfield, to me, matches up wonderfully. They are going to be a challenge for LAFC. And LAFC is going to want to take the edge off Herrera. They're probably going to try to want to make it difficult for Artur to build a game. But the three guys who move the ball forward more than anybody are Artur, Hector Herrera, and Griffin Dorsey. They get you up the field. And Escobar at times, too. But those are the guys that get you up the field. Those are your three key guys in getting you into the opponent's half of the field and ultimately into the final third. That's number one. Number two, I think the Dynamo can take the edge off of Buanga. I think they can take the edge off of Vela. I think they're game for that. I think they can do it. I think they're focused enough. And in order to do that, they're going to have to be very careful when the ball turns over. Because Buanga is, you know, definitely a heck of a player. Could have been the league MVP. And I think what we like about him, or well, what we don't want him to do in this game, the Western Conference Final in L.A., you know, he's a killer. He doesn't need six chances to score a goal. He doesn't need four. He doesn't need three. He's a finisher. And cutting in on the right, he's dangerous. He did that against Seattle. But they spent the entire second half defending their 1-0 lead. And those were road tactics. I don't know how much of the artificial surface played into that, not wanting to play as much football. I don't know. Chirundolo did that. Chirundolo's an excellent manager, Steve Chirundolo, who, by the way, one of the most underrated players in the history of the U.S. men's national team as a right back. And absolutely beloved figure in Germany at Hanover. I think became the captain of the team. Remarkable career in the Bundesliga. And it's funny, these quiet guys who don't seek the attention, you forget how good their careers were. This guy's career. Go look it up, Steve Chirundolo. He's American in Germany, right? Germans aren't supporting you unless you know what you're doing, and you're a good player, and you're committed to the cause. I think that's one thing we know there. Another shout-out to Nelson Quiñones, and you have to look at how both he and Dorsey have influenced this team with their growth. So Quiñones on the left is cutting in. He's getting into that, I call that, what did I call that? I call that area around the box. I call it the space of indecision. It's that block of an area where if you're an inverted winger, and this is part of what's happening, you want to get into this area where maybe a right back that's marking you is going to kind of try to pass you on, but a center back or a holding midfielder doesn't get out quick enough to you. And you can hit shots from there in on your right foot. Now, you saw Quiñones do that a couple times right away. He flashed one wide that he hit with tremendous power. He forced a good save that fell to Corey Baird. But, man, if this kid starts scoring 3, 4, and 5 goals, six, seven, eight goals a year, 9 goals, man, his valuation is going to go through the roof because he's learned how to defend. He's become more responsible, and I think you have to consider what the Dynamo staff has done with this guy. So he was extremely dangerous. He'll be very, very important. Now, Dorsey and Sviatchenko, Coco, are all going to be in and around Buanga on that side of the field. So that's a matchup to watch. How will that affect Griffin Dorsey going forward? These are all really interesting things to factor in. So LAFC started with Maxime Crapo coming back from injury. Diego Palacios was the Ecuadorian left back. So Giorgio Chiellini, here's another key for the Dynamo. Can you get that man isolated? Right? Can you isolate him? Because he needs people around him at his age now. He's a great character, unbelievable career, unbelievable defender, you know, Italian national team player, titles, Juventus, you know, the whole thing. But if you get him isolated, like Seattle did one time, he's got to foul you. You get in the penalty area and isolated with him, you know, these are opportunities where you might be able to take advantage of a legendary defender. That would be Dorsey coming up that side of the field. That would be Coco in and around him. Both younger, quicker, more explosive players. So they're going to have to protect him with Ilya Sanchez, who's an excellent player. So Chiellini and Jesus Murillo, the center backs, Ryan Hollingsworth, Hollingshead. Midfield of Acosta, Ilya Sanchez, and Tim Tillman. Denis Bouanga, Carlos Vela, and Christian Oliveira, the young Uruguayan under 22 initiative. How much will Vela give you? Man, this is a great matchup. I can't wait for this. 713-780-3776. Hit us up there. You can hit us up on Twitter. Pat Onstad, Chad Riley, Hector Herrera. Those will be our interviews in the second hour. Twitch.com/ESPN975 if you want to comment there. Going to take a break. We're going to talk about some disturbing trends, I think, in sports journalism that I'm not a big fan of. And we'll take your calls. 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, the legendary Lemmy of Motorhead.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. This is the Crystal Method, a song called Topic. For those who like this kind of music, I do. Who thinks I'm only classic rock? That's not true. I like this. Good. All right, 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, committed to working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Car, boat, motorcycle, maritime. These are nervy times. Few things are worse than injury to family members or others. That's when you call the Daspit Law Firm at 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual, DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com. And again, they get us on the air with tremendous effort, and we appreciate the Daspit Law Firm for so many years getting us on the air. All right, Champions League today, Lazio 2-0 over Celtic. You had Shakhtar Donetsk 1-0 over Antwerp from Belgium. Manchester City 3-2 over RB Leipzig. Feyenoord lost 3-1 to Atletico Madrid. Santi Jimenez with an own goal in that one. The Mexican international. Barcelona 2-1 over Porto. So Guillermo Lazo Romero, my producer, is very happy about that. By the way, we also thank BMAC, Brian McDonald, for his contributions to this show, and he's been producing all the Dynamo playoff games that you have gotten to hear on your soccer station in Houston. That is ESPN 97.5, the home of Soccer Matters. Milan at home goes down to Dortmund. Dortmund in real good shape in their group. And then PSG 1-1 with Newcastle. There was some controversy in that one, and Mbappe would score the equalizer. This was 90+8, so they were literally Newcastle 1 minute away from beating PSG in France. You have the song.
This would take them above Newcastle in the table. Mbappe levels. PSG 1, Newcastle United.
So that ended 1-1. Isak had scored earlier. Here's what it sounded like for Newcastle, his goal in the 24th minute.
Livramento. Good run by him. Could have gone down.
Lovely feet.
Enemy run. Donnarumma's parried it out. Newcastle lead through Isak. 24 minutes gone.
Hey, lovely feet. Did you hear that from the commentator? Nobody's ever said that about me. I have the world's ugliest feet. All right, Joao Felix sealing the win for Barcelona in the 57th against Porto.
But it's Joao Felix. Now Joao Cancelo. Joao Felix!
Okay, so 2-1 Barcelona over Hector Herrera's former team Porto. Phil Foden makes it 2-2 against Leipzig in the 70th minute.
Vardiol. Oh, lovely feet. Marvellous. Marvellous goal. And they're level. Well, Foden here, the dancing feet.
Dancing feet this time. We're talking a lot about feet. The dancing feet of Phil Foden. By the way, remember a guy named Kevin De Bruyne? Pretty nice to have a Phil Foden to insert into your lineup if you're Pep Guardiola in Manchester City. Guess who gets the game-winning goal? Julian Alvarez.
Guardiola for Lewis. Now Ake. Lewis. Lovely ball now for Doku again. Doku. And Foden took it well. And here Alvarez!
Okay. Now, Erling Haaland became the fastest player to score 40 Champions League goals. He does it in 35 games. He also broke the Kylian Mbappe record to become the youngest player to reach 40 Champions League goals. Pretty off the charts. Okay. Now, if you're a journalist and in any shape or form, honesty and integrity are pretty important things if you want to become a trusted source. There is a lot of kind of things that are going on right now. And I'm going to start with Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated has been using AI to write articles. Sports Illustrated is also made up through images, fake writers and journalists. So they make up, they put a picture, they make a name, and then they use AI to write their article. I wouldn't buy another Sports Illustrated. I would not support them because it's just out and out deceptive and it's dangerous. And it makes me very sad to hear that. But basically they created an image, they created a name, and they had AI write the article. That's Sports Illustrated. When I was a kid, that was mailed to my mailbox, and my uncle, that was my Christmas present every year. My uncle would sign that up for me, and I'd wait for it to come to the mailbox. I'd go running out there. It'd be disappointing the day it wouldn't be there, and then the day it came, it's like the Holy Grail arrived. But it's just incredibly sad, and that combined with all the misinformation that flows in sports media on the internet, and how quickly we are to just take things for lore, it's pretty scary. More than pretty scary. And that comes on the heels. That comes on the heels of Carissa Thompson, who's an NFL sideline reporter, who came out and said she was fabricating her reports from the sideline. Bizarre. Now, apparently she's taken all this back, saying she didn't lie. Okay, so I guess we know what she's up to. She's trying to get attention. It's pretty sad. But she's taking it all back now. So she comes out and says, hey, I've been lying. I've been making up stories. And then she comes out a couple days later and says, no, really. I didn't lie, and there were no fabrications. So your take on that, Guillermo. Because, again, you should lose your job for that. You should lose your job. That's not an honest mistake. That is lying to the public. You are representing your network. You're lying to the public. So I'm not a big fan of that. And then the other bizarre thing is you look then at the comments, and there are people who are like, it's no big deal. Okay, so you want to be lied to. I mean, is that acceptable? That's journalism? Honestly, these two examples here, detestable actions. This is about honesty and integrity as journalists and reporters. I know that's going out the window. It seems to be going out the window, maybe potentially in sports as well. Your thoughts, Guillermo?
I mean, I just find it completely disrespectful. Disrespectful to the team, to the players, to the coaches, to the fans, and to the people, to the journalists that wish they could be in that position.
Yeah, I think that's the key. There are a lot of journalists out there doing it the right way, and to see a sideline reporter do that and turn it back. But that's, you know what she's doing. She's just trying to get attention, try and grow her career that way. And sadly, there's a lot of people doing that. I get you have to be involved in social media. Look, I do it too. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I know in order to have this radio show and have anybody listen, I do need to do it. But, gosh, in Sports Illustrated, making up images and names and then having AI write it, how embarrassing. Sports Illustrated, oh, God. It's truly, truly sad. That type of thing is occurring, but it does occur. And, you know, with social media and everything going, people are willing to do anything to get on TV and provide, get the light on themselves.
And it's not even just occurring like in sports, just AI in general. It's taking over jobs. It's making people more lazy, and it's a problem all throughout.
I guess they're looking for, AI to handle umpiring in baseball too. What do you want the human to do? At some point. So let's check the Twitch line. You got anything there, Guillermo? I think we have something.
King got a couple of people coming in on the Twitch. We have King Taco 2. He talks about Chicharito. He's saying, I love him as a Mexican, but I don't want him near this Dynamo team. Maybe 5 years ago, but not now.
I think he should come if he can bring that.
More people talking on Twitch, loving the show, and everything else.
You think Chicharito's value goes up if he brings that guru? Remember that guru guy he was living with and they were doing those videos? I could not believe that stuff. I don't know. We got the videos of him. He's working out in the gym now. Loved him as a player at the height of his career when he was really focused on being a professional. I think he's trying to refocus now. That happens a lot. But, yeah, I just love watching the true pros. I love watching Sviatchenko play for the Houston Dynamo. He's focused. He's a pro. I love the way he talks when he's interviewed. I love watching Herrera. And engaged Herrera this year with intense focus on the game and respect for the game. I love that. I love seeing those kind of players. De Bruyne was one of them. He was not a big guy out in the media all the time. I guess Harry Kane's another one. Who else would you put in that category that you just feel is the ultra sort of mega zoned in professional playing the game, respecting the game?
First name that came to my mind was Messi.
Yeah, Lionel Messi's a great one. Robert Lewandowski, his career. So they're still there, and those guys are there. Then there's a lot of guys that'll fit in categories below those guys that have the potential to be in that A category and are making so much money that, it's too much of a temptation, and their professionalism wanes a little bit, and then they don't get mentioned amongst the greats. So it is pretty interesting. Anyway, I like that part of it. All right, so it's a big one. It's Western Conference Final. It's Saturday. We'll have the call right here on ESPN 97.5. 8 o'clock is the pregame show. We'll have the one and only Brian McDonald behind the screen. Bobby Boswell will join me for the call of the game. We'll have our data man, Justin Finger, on that. And David Obert, our great team all year long. Hope people have been enjoying the radio call. And I know some have clicked over even on Apple. So, we're proud to bring in those games and bring them to you in the best fashion we possibly can. Because after all, we are working for you. Now, in the second hour, I mentioned Chad Riley. He's the head coach of Notre Dame. Notre Dame is in the Elite Eight. They're down to the last eight teams in NCAA Division I soccer. They will play Indiana. So that is actually kind of the state of Indiana's college soccer derby, the Indiana Hoosiers against Notre Dame. But Chad Riley grew up playing in Houston, one of the many coaches around the country that have honed their skills here, learned their game in Houston, and we're prideful about that. It's important for me to kind of shine the light on these stories. So if you have any stories out there, you contact me, because I don't get them all. I get a lot of them, but I don't get them all. The other quarterfinals are West Virginia University, Loyola Marymount, North Carolina, Oregon State, and then Stanford and Clemson. So the winners of these games will go to the NCAA College Cup. It'll be played in Louisville. The women's side, the women play their College Cup prior. Florida State, Clemson, and Stanford, BYU. This is great four teams. Florida State took out a very good Texas, 5-0. BYU was down 3-0 at halftime to North Carolina in Utah in the snow, came back and scored four goals in the second half, knocked out North Carolina Tar Heels and the legendary Anson Dorrance, and they will play Stanford. So Stanford's got the teams in the last eight on the men's side. By the way, that's where Corey Baird played his soccer. Corey Baird won three national championships at Stanford, including one here in Houston in 2016. All right. Tired Angels by a band called Mountain. We're going to come back. We're going to go with three really good interviews. We'll start with the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad. We'll then segue into Chad Riley, the coach in Notre Dame. We'll finish off with Hector Herrera. All of these interviews can be found on YouTube, Soccer Matters page. Keep hitting us up on Twitch. We love the comments. Keep hitting me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Let's keep this going. I need you behind me to keep a good soccer talk going here. And by the way, we'll come back, and as we weave into our interview, I think we're going to try to weave in a little soundbite that was very quick from the morning show with John Granato, where I challenged local media to not only cover the Dynamo and soccer in the good times, but when it's 90 degrees in July, some more comprehensive coverage. I hope that's going to happen, because I see a lot of new talented people covering the Dynamo now here in the playoffs. All right, we'll take a break. More to come.